Yes, the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever, and he is great and greatly to be praised, and there is no one else like him. Well, I don't know if you know anyone else, but the Lord himself, he looked through the heavens, he looked through the earth or anywhere else, trying to find somebody, but he couldn't. So he was told that he swore by himself. He looked for somebody greater. There was no one. Ha! Glory to God. And we ourselves know that indeed there is no one like the Lord. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Revelation chapter 4. And behold, the throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And I pray that today we will be caught up in the Spirit, just like John was. Come up hither, he was told, and I will show thee things that you must be hereafter. You know, the Lord always wants us to come into the Spirit with him. Praise the Lord. And we must not be anywhere other than in his presence at all times. It's a disaster when the Lord has to be looking for us. You know, he was looking for Adam after the fall. Couldn't find him. Adam, he said, where are you? But Lord, we pray that we will always be found in you. The Lord will not have to be looking for us. We're right there with him. So John said, I was in the Spirit and beheld a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Well, the question is, how many gods will you see in heaven? Say right here, one sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. There was a rainbow about round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. Now these were seated round about the throne, and they were clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now, these are the things that we must experience in worship. And true worship, in moments, even especially of corporate worship, you'll see that there was corporate worship here. It's what I want to talk about here in just a minute. It was corporate worship. And in those moments, you know, we can experience these things. And if God enables us to be caught up, but if you look, you can see, you can see those elders sitting, and you can see, you know, the lamps of fire, and that's powers of God, 7 spirits of God, powers burning like that, representing the completeness of his Spirit, even in that experience. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass. Now, all of this was for John's benefit, not for God's benefit. You know, God already, you know, had been like that forever. But, you know, he peeled back the veil, so to speak, and allowed John to enter, cut up, and he can experience that. And I pray that we will experience that also from time to time. You experience it long enough, You can stay in that realm. My goodness. Praise the Lord. Sea of glass unto crystal in the midst of the throne. Round about the throne, there were four beasts of eyes, full of eyes, before and behind. The first was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third at the face of a man, and the fourth like a flying eagle. My goodness. And these powers to be, you know, that go forth to bring the gospel, also go forth to demonstrate the, you know, sufferings of Christ and all the power of the Lord. Four beasts, each of them had six wings, full of eyes within, they rest not day and night, saying, holy, holy, holy. They're doing it in unison. Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, then the 24 elders, praising the Lord like that and worshiping him. Those celestial powers, they lead the charge, followed by the 24 elders, and they worship him that liveth forever and ever. And well, when you are in his presence, your crowns mean nothing. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Now, that's a beautiful form of worship. So tell the Lord, he's worthy of all things. He's also glorious. And by his power and for his power and for his pleasure were all things created. I'm going to give just various exhortations interlaced with worship, music. And so you get in the presence of the Lord and just enjoy his presence. We can experience being caught up as well. He is glorious.
Even comes close to your glory. Creation displays how great you are. Mountains and oceans and infinite stars. And nothing that I've ever seen even comes close to your glory.
Somebody tell him that he's glorious. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. In this next song, let's just worship the Lord.
In your own language, just worship the Lord. Yeah. Say something to the Lord. Don't wait for the song to start. Hallelujah. They just worship.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
We worship your name, Jesus.
Izandu bai karuna santeria la vaci. Karunda mazo sozo botai la vaci. Worship the Lord.
Somebody just lift up your voice and worship the King of Kings. Worship your name, Jesus. Come on, somebody, just raise your voice to the Lord. He's worthy to be praised, he's worthy to be worshipped.
Let's worship you. Forget about yourself.
You are glorious.
Just worship him.
So glorious in your ways. You are glorious. So glorious in your ways. You are glorious.
Faithful God, you never change.
I know something about the faithfulness of God.
Yes, I do. Yes.
You are righteous. I know that you are
so righteous.
And because He's righteous, we are called the righteousness of God.
Worshiping and praising the Lord today. The 420 elders were introduced to us in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation. And we see one of their first acts that we see, and we see them throughout the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 4, Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 7, Revelation chapter 11, Revelation chapter 19, on and on and on. We see them, you know, first they were introduced as sitting, glory to God, you know, with seats, you know, might have been the little thrones that God gave them, but they're called seats. They're seats of power too. And we see them with crowns of gold on their head. That's usually given to believers. You know, there's no place in the scriptures that tell us that angelic beings are crowned with anything. So we know these represent, you know, the believers down through the ages. But I say that they are more than that. They are a cloud of witnesses, you know, not to check the Lord. You know, we have elders in churches today that check and make sure things are, you know, balance and so forth, not to the left, not to the right, you know, it's right down the center. Elders have different roles, well, you know, in the church ministries, in the body of Christ today. But these ones are not here to check the Lord, can't check the Lord. They're here to give witness, to let you know that all the time that we've been here has none failed, nothing failed of His faithfulness. And all His glory is still glorious. From the time we've known Him till this day, He's still glorious. And they cease not, we're told, you know. They follow the worship of the four beasts, and they cease not to say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And when they do that, when those beasts do that, those 24 elders, they also fall down before Him that sat on the throne. Now, this is not tedious worship at all. All the falling down, so forth, effortlessly flowing in the Spirit, because they love to worship Him. But they know that that's the reason they're there. You know, when you talk of His glory, when they saw His beauty like that, and around His beauty, all they can do is worship the Lord. And the Lord said, "Well, you can put those crowns on." And they said, "No, not in your presence. We can't wear any crowns. You know, Thou worthy Lord," they said. "Receive glory and honor and power. Thou hast created all things. For Thy pleasure they are and were created." That's a good prayer to add to our worship. You know, we worship the Lord. Let's add that. Tell Him how great He is. Tell Him that He's worthy to receive glory and honor. We jump to chapter 5. Just want to show you, you know, how these elders throughout the book of Revelation, how they are portrayed in worshiping the Lord and all the things, how they give glory to the Lord. In chapter 5, we see the book. Yes, that was a very peculiar book that John saw in the hand of him that sat on the throne. He noticed that, this book sealed with seven seals. I mean, definitely a book has some writings on the inside, so that's assumed. But on the outside, what he noticed was seven seals. And he heard a strong angel proclaiming, "Who's worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And they searched everywhere, in heaven, in earth, under the earth, everywhere. They could not find any apostle, any prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Couldn't find anybody to step up and take that book. "And I, John, wept much," he said, "because no man was found worthy." Notice, no man. You know, no matter how much we understand that God wants us to be like the Christ, and He will make us like Him, and we're shaping us in that, you know, forming us like that. But He stands alone. He still stands alone, you know. And He doesn't want to be alone, though. He wants to bring all of us to be like Him. But in terms of glory, position, and order, He's above all else. Praise God. "And he wept. And then one of the elders," see, that's their role again, "will tell you what's going on. Now, if you engage the Lord deep in worship, one of those elders might just come to you and tell you a few things." "So, well, weep not," he said. "A lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David." See, they understand these things. "He has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Ah, And so John, you know, there was a big relief in his mind. My goodness, now we found somebody. So he's looking, turn around, looking for the lion. And behold, lo, in the midst of the throne and in the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a lion. They surround him like that, you know. Attention when he's there. But this time around, what he saw instead of the lion was a lamb, you know, in a bloody, you know, pool of, I mean, his own blood, you know, just slain, full of blood and everything. But he looked closer and he saw that he had seven horns and seven eyes. And my goodness, what kind of, you know, lamb is this? And they, you know, immediately understood that these are those seven spirits from those same seven lamps, you know, couched in there, and those seven horns and eyes. And these are the spirits of God sent forth over all the earth. And this lamb, he came out, took that book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, and notice, as soon as he took the book, the 24 elders, they fell down. This is what they do. You know, see them again in action here. They fell down. And listen to what they said. They said, you know, I mean, this time around, first time we saw that they had crowns, you know, and clothing, you know, raiments, white and so forth. Now, really now we see that they had harps already and golden vials full of odors, and the prayers of the saints were in their hands. Praise God. And they represent also all the priestly dimension through the ages, the ministry, body ministry. And they were right there. And they sang a new song. Well, it's new. Nobody ever heard it. Thou art worthy to take the book and to loose the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred. So we see that they were people that had been redeemed. And they represented kindreds, tongues, and peoples and nations. That includes the Jews. That includes the Gentiles. And he said, they have made us kings and priests. Glory to God. Yeah, so we should reign upon the earth. You know, and they were even looking. I mean, they're in heaven around the throne, but they're still looking to reign upon the earth. Beautiful. Beautiful, if you understand it. And he was looking. John was looking. And he's, all of a sudden, see, now, see, angels come out. This time around, the elders are leading the charge in the worship and adoration. And after them, angels come forth. You know? And all of them begin to, thousands and thousands, millions, begin to say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Now, they could not say, for thou hast redeemed us. They can't say that. The Lord didn't redeem them like that. They couldn't say that, you know. So these elders, they had won over on the angels. Something the angels could not say, the elders could say. They could say, you have redeemed us. Angels couldn't say that. But they could all say, worthy is the Lamb. Everybody can say that. And receive riches. And every creature after that, whether in heaven or on earth or anywhere else, you know, they began to say blessing and honor and glory and power to him that sit upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. The four beasts, they said amen, you know, and the 24 elders, they fell down, worshipped him. I mean, all this time, just worship the Lord, you know, all and on, we see many depictions, of these elders, you know, they're always there either to tell and show John something. For instance, in Revelation chapter 7, fast forward to that one also. You know, as John was getting deeper in these revelations, he saw some other things too. And while he was wondering, well, what is all this? You know, we're told that one of the elders, in verse 13 of Revelation 7, another one of the elders said to him, you know, what are these things? And who are these people clothed with white robes like this? You know, all these people around the throne and everything. You know, great multitude, which no man could number. Of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, which stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, crying salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Now, this is a picture that we should paint for the devil, you know, to let him know this is the end game right here. You know, devil can never have multitudes of people like the Lord. Look at the number of people that God has. Nobody could number them. You know, our God is always the victor, and he wears the victor's crown. Devil did try to cast down the third of the angels, but that's as far as he could get. God still had the majority. And God, when it's all said and done, it looks like this world is wicked and evil right now, and it looks like there are more evil people than good. But I guarantee you, you know, at the end of it all, the people that will be recognizing and worshiping and praising the Lord, they will be numberless. Because he says right here, a great multitude, which no man could number. That's right. They come out of all nations. You know, this is a great multitude. Kindreds, people, tongues stood before the Lord. And the 24 elders represent the same group. This, you know, they said, well, we all came out of tongues and nations and kindreds. Well, so they're just a select class. But there's a whole lot of people. You don't think that the blood of the Lamb was shed in vain, do you? He's going to get as many as he can and as many as are ordained unto life. He's going to get them all. We'll get them one way or another. They might be first fruits. Well, they might be gleanings. Might go through tribulation or whatever. But he's going to get them all. And the angels stood around the throne, around the elders, worshipped everybody. You know, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power, you know, and might be unto our God. Well, he's God of the angels. He's not just God of the people. He's God of the people. He's God of the angels. God of the elders. He's God of all these ones that came out of, you know, the earth. He's God and God alone. And the elders, one of the elders asked him again, say, who are these that are arrayed in white robes and where did they come from? And I said, well, Lord, I mean, he said, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. See, they're coming out of there. And they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, even out of great tribulation. Well, now we've been through great tribulation from the beginning till now. There's always been tribulation for the saints. Yeah, we must, you know, Paul said we must through much tribulation enter in the kingdom of God. And even at the end, there's this thing called the great tribulation. It's not just talking about the great tribulation here. It's talking about great tribulation from the beginning. You know, I've been in this fight and the devil been trying to wear out the saints. But they will have the victor crowned, every one of them at the end. They're overcoming. And they're coming out. And even that great tribulation at the end, people are coming out of there as well. And therefore, are they before the throne? Because they've made their robes to be white. And they should praise the Lord. They shall hunger no more. Glory to God. You know why? Because, you know, they are in the presence of the Lord now. You know, he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst anymore, neither shall the sun light upon them, not any heat. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, shall lead them unto fountains of living waters. And God shall wipe away all tears. I mean, these are all the things that, you know, when you remember, we should just praise the Lord. You know, the appearances of these elders continue throughout the book of Revelation in chapter 9, chapter 11, chapter 19, etc. You know, it would appear to John and tell him many things. Praise the Lord. Today, I want us to, you know, follow their lead. They are always praising and worshiping the Lord. And they recognize his goodness as well. We should do that. You know, should recognize his goodness. Let me show you an example also of, you know, what corporate worship can do. There's a story, I'll paraphrase it, but I'll refer to it out of 2 Chronicles chapter 5. You know, here we know that, you know, the temple, Solomon's temple and everything, you know, was being built. The house of the Lord was for many years being worked on. And now he's ready to open and dedicate the thing. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 5 says, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver, the gold, the instruments, and all these things he put in the treasures of the house of the Lord. And Solomon assembled the elders of Israel, and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. You know, wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the 7th month. Wow, a 7th month. God, praise the Lord anyhow. And all the elders came, and the Levites took up the ark, and they brought up the ark, and the tabernacle of the congregation, all the holy vessels, and so on. They brought it forth, and also the king of Israel, and all that were assembled, they sacrificed. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you have a leader, you know, that leads the people like this in the worship of the Lord, you know, and the priests, they brought the ark of the covenant, you know, to his place, to the oracle of the house, in the most holy place, under the wings of the cherubim, you know, cherubims, you know, that set for their wings over the place, like the God showed Moses and so on, you know, and, you know, the on and on is depicted. But let's jump here to verse 11 and see the beauty of this thing when they begin to, you know, get together in one accord to praise the Lord. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place. Now, all the priests at that time were sanctified. Yeah? They did not take turns, go one by one. They did it all together. He said they did not then at that time wait by course, which is taking turns, but this time they did it together. All of them. You know, all the Levites, like the singers, you know, them of the children of Asaph and so on. They all, you know, were ready. 120 of them at the same time. They had trumpets. My goodness. And it came to pass, as these trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound, not one person singing this way, another person singing that way, you know, one person thinking something, another person doing something else. No. Make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. It came to pass that when they did that, and lifted up their voice with those trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and they praised the Lord and said, for the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. It came to pass that even then, see, in the beauty of that unity, the beauty of all of them in that corporate worship, it came to pass that then the house was filled with a cloud. Even the house of the Lord was filled with the glory of God, and the priest could not even stand anymore to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of God had filled the house of God. This is something we can experience during corporate worship. So powerful, you know, and we can experience that. Jesus himself said, you know, for us now, he said, look, if any two of you gather together in my name, two or three, I'll be right there. So every time that you come into fellowship with other believers, remember, there's a promise from the Lord. But if we can get in unity and not be distracted, most people are distracted. You know, you come to church, distracted. You know, I look around and see that people are distracted. They're just doing all kinds of things, you know. And the praise team is singing. They think that, you know, it's some kind of entertainment or some kind of interlude to fill in the gap. Finish, and the praise team finish, and people wander into the church as though, well, you know, we can come after they're done. And all that attitude, the glory of God is not going to come down. You know, it's only going to come down when everybody is in unity with one sound. Praise team, audience, everybody, even angels, they wanted to join in too. You know, and it's a beautiful thing when you can really get in the presence of the Lord that way and praise the Lord. And I want us to do some of that today. Even though we are virtually gathered, well, it's still the same because God is spirit. You know, God is not physical. God doesn't need to be in some physical location. In fact, people used to think, you know, that, you know, you had to go to this mountain or that place or the other place, you know. And the woman said to Jesus in John chapter 4, he said, well, you know, we Samaritans, we've heard you Jews always saying that you got to go to Jerusalem and you got to go to this other place to worship God and so forth. What's that all about? You know, Jesus said, well, yeah, they've been saying that, but I tell you something. The hour is coming and now he is. That neither yet on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, nor anywhere like that, you know, will people need to go to a certain place to worship the Lord. And they worship him in spirit and in truth, because God is spirit. Torah, John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. God is spirit and is looking for worshipers worshiping spirit. So when we are gathered together virtually, the spirit of God is with us as well. And we can praise the Lord together. Put away, you know, all your stuff, stuff that happened last week, over the last few days, last month, last whatever. Forget all that. Right now, in this moment, it's time to worship the Lord. Praise God. Seize the moment all the time as well. You know, that's a song that says, oh, forget about yourself. Concentrate on him. And worship him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on him. And worship him. So forget about yourselves. Concentrate on him. And worship Christ the Lord. Let us worship him, Jesus Christ, the Lord. I want us in corporate worship. I want you now to open your mics and worship.